The last couple of weeks, we've been speaking on, well, the Lord has spoken to us about increase. And I wish I had a series of, like, okay, Lord, what's the increase this week? What's, you know, and I wish I had a series all lined up, but believe me, it's gone from week to week. It's gone from a moment of inspiration to producing something to capture the heart of God to bring to you guys. And, you know, we talked about at the beginning that the kingdom of God is always increasing. That Daniel seen it as a mountain constantly increasing till it was filling the whole earth. Jesus explained it like this, that the kingdom is like, it's like yeast in a batch of dough, and the yeast goes into every part of the batch. That the kingdom is not something that stands still. The kingdom is something that's always moving, that always has a momentum of somehow. And even if the in your life or my life or what's going on around us, if it's just like Jesus said stuff like, be faithful with the little. Be faithful with the little. Why? Because he wants to give you an increase. He doesn't say this for no reason. He's like, if you're faithful with little, I will give you much. And even the momentum of having a little and keep running with the little, because there's a moment when promotion is released and increase is released, that you take another step up or another expression of God is released. And it's so encouraging in these days that God is saying, I'm releasing the increase. And that was 2 weeks ago. And last week we talked about that the Lord wants to increase strength. He prophesied through the prophet Isaiah that they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. He will bring an increase. He refreshes and energizes for those that those who are walking will start running. And those who are running, the increase will come and you will take off. You will take off into another dimension of God. Keep walking if you're walking. Keep running if you're running. Keep flying if you're flying. And he promises this. It's not something that, if God says that in the Bible, there's a grace that is released upon every word of God that brings that word to pass in our lives. So it's not just a one-dimensional word. Oh, that's what it says. It's written in black and white. But in behind that word and the dimension of the word of God, that if he says do something, and we do it, we step out in faith, we act of faith, activates faith, activates grace. Paul says that we are saved by grace, through faith. That the grace is there and is activated when we step into and say, Jesus, I believe you died and rose again. I believe that you took my sin. Boom, grace is released for you to become a Christian, to become a new being in Christ Jesus. So everything that you have, Peter walked on the water. Why? Because in faith he responded to the word of Jesus. Can I come, Lord, and walk on water? Yeah, Peter, come. There was a grace release for Peter to be able to walk into another realm that he'd never ever walked in before. And he stepped out in faith, and grace was released for the man to walk on water. Who wants to come up the canal? And he releases. There's a strength to overcome. There's a strength to get back up. There's a strength to have a new type of walk and a new type of run with God. And last week, if you weren't here last week, put up your hand. Just keep your hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the increase of strength into each life, Lord, that wasn't under the sound of your preaching last week in this house. I release strength to walk and run and fly. I pray, Lord, the strength to overcome, the strength, oh God, to let go, the strength, oh God, to move into the next level of the anointing of God in lives. Strength to be free. Strength to stay free. I release the increase in Jesus' name. If someone says to you, what's God like? What are you going to say? God is love. That's what the Bible says. That God is love, and everything he does, it's out of love. If you're sitting here this morning, I believe this week that God said, I want you to release an increase of my love into the hearts and into the body of Liberty. an increase? Can there be an increase? Have I experienced all of the love of God? You know what? That song, He Makes Things Beautiful. He makes beautiful things. He makes beautiful things. Yeah. That you're already brand spanking new before God. And that newness of life, it's not like we're heading towards something that's new. We are new. And we're coming from that newness. And that newness of God that's in us is making its way through into all of the areas of our lives that mightn't be so beautiful. Or might be damaged or broken. And the beauty of God is bursting through from the inside out. He doesn't go from the outside in. He does from the inside out. It's sanctification. That's the big theological word, that you're already brand new before God, but that He's in the process of making you what you really are already. Does that make sense? And His love is something that has to permeate absolutely everything, because if He is love and we are in Him, well then that love is supposed to emanate from each one of us. And it's important, because you can become a Christian and you think that God is a God of punishment and a God of wrath. And I get worried when I hear Christians talking about the wrath of God and the judgment of God all of the time. Because I'm like, you need to experience the love of God. There was an expression of God in the Old Testament, but there was a New Testament that was ratified by the cross of Jesus and the resurrection. A friend says to me, and you can talk with me afterwards if you don't agree with me, but a friend says to me that the Lord is going to punish Dublin for its sin. He's going to bring, not punish, it's judgment upon Dublin for its sin. And I says, I was late at night and I didn't want to get into it really, but I couldn't let it go. And I says, if God judges Dublin for its sin, He's going to have to apologize to His Son Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus took all the punishment for the sins of the world. Now, if there's consequences of sin for Dublin, that's a different story. But in the New Testament, God, out of love, sent His Son to take the sins of the world. And the world is not necessarily going to go to hell for its sin. It's going to go to hell because whether it believes in Jesus and He took the punishment for their sin or not. It's not a sin issue. The sin issue was dealt with. It's the belief issue. It's the faith issue. It's the trust issue, whether you trust in Him or not. And He done this all out of love. And when someone says to us, what is God like? Or you're living out of God, or even your prayer, everything you do says something about you. Everything you say says something about who you really are. And you might say, and we might say with our lips, God is love. And you might have a theological understanding of it, but yet we haven't experienced it. And I believe God wants us to experience His love in such dramatic ways. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 36, verse 5. Oh, and this love of God came down to earth and walked. And Jesus came and He showed us what the love of God is like. And if you want to know what perfect theology is, look at Jesus. You want to know what perfect love and what it's like for love to walk on earth, look at the life of Jesus. Get into reading the gospel again and ask Him for that love and that life that you see in Him. He wants to live that out through us, His life. But look at these scriptures. God's love is meteoric and His loyalty is astronomic. What is the psalmist trying to communicate to us? What is the Holy Spirit trying to say just through this simple translation? He is trying to communicate that God's love is out of this world. That there's nothing like it on the earth. The nearest we may get to it is maybe a parental type of love, a sacrificial love that a parent would have. But it still falls short of the perfect love of God, the love that is out of this world. The love that no one can bring it into your life other than God Himself. And He wants us, He wants this love increase. Look at 2 Corinthians. Or maybe even 1 Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, Paul is praying for the church, that your love may abound yet more and more. I pray that your love may increase and increase more and more, and extend to the fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. The Amplified Version. That Paul is praying for the church and he says, I pray that that your love may abound more and more and more to the extent of its fullness. He was speaking that there's an increase of love. That you may have been deposited a section or a deposit of God's love. But he wants to bring an increase to the extent of the full development of God's love in us. So that it can move out through us. 2 Corinthians, Paul experienced this love. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, Christ's love has moved me to such extremities that his love has become the first and the last, that his love has the first and the last say in everything I do. Paul says that this love of God has impacted my life so much that it has the first and the last say in absolutely everything I do. There's an impact of love. There's an increase of God's love, that it's to a such an extreme that everything you touch is touched by the love of God. Everything you say is permeated with the love of God. That Paul went to the ends of his known world. Why? Because the love of God compelled him to go to the ends of the earth. He took a beating in every city, every town that he ever went in. Why? Because the love of God got him to get back up and go again and go again. The love of God is absolutely incredible. And some of us in Christianity have a theology of God's love, but have not experienced God's love. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which is one of my favorite passages in Ephesians 3, he talks about that it's not just enough to have a knowledge of the love of God, but you can have an experience of the love of God. Ephesians 3:18, again in the Amplified, Paul prays that the church may have the power and be strong to be able to comprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of it? That you may really, really know practically true experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses knowledge, meaning without experience. That you may be filled through all of your being unto all of the fullness of God. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. What an incredible scripture that he says that I pray. And when Paul prayed, he knew there was a grace on everything he prayed. He was writing the scriptures, not only knowing words, but knowing that there's a grace that is released when the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures and brings it to his church. And he says, look, I pray that you know it in practical ways. I pray that you know it in experiential ways. I pray that you will know it intellectually, physically, spiritually, emotional, that this love of God would permeate every aspect of our whole being. That he said that we would be filled through and through with the fullness of God, the richest measure of the divine presence of God. The love of God is to be experienced. There's people in the Bible that experience the love of God. It was 10 lepers that came to Jesus. They knew the theology. They knew the Old Testament. They knew what was to be done. They knew that there was sacrifices and oils and bathing that had to be done if anyone even got a hint of being healed of leprosy. And 10 come to Jesus and love touched them. There he is down there in the bottom right. 10 came and Jesus said, your faith, be healed. Your faith is, you've been healed because of your faith. And they all went and then one came back because it wasn't enough just to see Jesus and have a one-off experience for this man. He was like, love touched him and he experienced such pure love that he says, look, I can go back. And Jesus says, go back and do what Moses told you to do. Go back and do the sacrifices. Go back and do the ceremonies. Go back and do the cleansing, the ceremonial cleansing. which was all types of Jesus. And they settled, nine of them settled for religious and religious ceremony and religious cleansing, where one says, I don't want types of Jesus. I don't want the religious one-off experience. And he ran back to Jesus and he jumped on his knees. He says, Jesus, I thank you. And if that's true, if 8 out of 10 cats prefer whiskers, well then 9 out of, if that's true, that statistic, well then 9 out of 10 Christians will settle for religious activities and ceremonies without settling for the reality in Jesus. And Jesus says, where's the rest of them? Did I not heal 10? He didn't even answer. He says, get up. He says, your faith has made you whole. Some got healed in the body, but Jesus says, now there's a new level, another level for you, an increase of love for you, that this love makes you whole. This love is not just a physical healing of leprosy, but it heals the rejection in your heart. And it heals the throwing out of your town. It heals the throwing out when people don't want to see you. It heals that leper mentality of ringing a bell saying, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And we can settle for healing. But Jesus says there's an increase of love that makes you whole. That makes you the newness of Jesus come into every aspect of who you are. It makes your thinking whole. The word used there is, it's actually a word in the Greek, therapeutic. This love is therapeutic. It comes all the way through and it touches your psyche. And it touches your emotions. And the other self are just going to church. The other self are just hearing the bells and the smells. And your man says, hang on. I met the real deal. I met Jesus. And when he came back to Jesus, this love is to be experienced. This love is not like, I just became a Christian. That's only your entry. When you give your life to Jesus, that's the start of the adventure. That's the love connection that you experience that will bring you into new dimensions of God. So what am I trying to say? Well, here's another woman. Prostitute. Caught in adultery. The love of Jesus not only picks us, sees us in the dust, but it lifts us out of the dust. And she experienced love, not condemning her, but she experienced love lifting her up out of opposition in life. All of the pain, all of the rejection, all of the men in our life, all of the dissatisfaction, all of the self-hatred, all of the shame, she meets love. And love says, come on, get up. And love says, I want you to experience what it is to be a woman that is whole, that is clean, that is able to walk. Love doesn't condemn. The prodigal son, he didn't need a theology of love. He needed an experience of love. And he runs back to his father with all of his smelly pig clothes on him. And his father says, come here, son. Because love embraces. Because love gathers in. Love restores. Love takes off the old and puts on new. Love says, this is not a slave, this is a son. This is not someone that just got in by the skin of their teeth. This is my daughter. This is not someone that has to work his way back into my grace and into my favor. This is my son, and love gathers and love puts its arm around and brings him and parades him into the city. No, my son is home. That's good news. Love can get Zacchaeus to come out of a tree. The others were in obvious need. But Zacchaeus' need is not that obvious when you've plenty of money, and you have a high standing, if not in your own eyes, in the community, and people bowing down to you because they owe you money. But he still had his problems, he still had his need. When everyone else wanted to be with him just for his money, Jesus says, I want to be with you because of who you are. When he didn't know what real love was, because maybe they're with me for this, this, or the other, because that's human love. And he meets pure love, love that's out of this world. And love speaks to him and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Get out of your tree. We're going to your house for dinner. Because love sits. And love fellowships. And love listens. And love speaks. And Zacchaeus says, look, I want this so badly, Jesus. I want an increase of what I've experienced. What do I have to do? Give it all away? Do I have to give back what I've done on others? I'm willing to give everything away, Jesus, to get more of this love. An increase of love. And love only is not to be experienced. In love delivers. He delivered Zacchaeus out of a place because he was a hated man. He delivered that woman out of the dust and out of prostitution. He delivered the leper. He delivered the prodigal son. Love delivers. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. There's an element of love that wears big boots. And when love is increased, fear runs away. Fear leaves people. I think we have another slide there, Mal. 1 John, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. He's saying that if fear is gripping us, that there's an increase of love to come your way, so that fear is thrown out the door. That when love is fully formed, that there's no fear of judgment, there's no fear of death. When love is fully formed, it goes in and it moves into the house of your life and it starts expanding like the mountain that the kingdom of God is. And there's fear hiding in the corner, and love touches the corner and says, fear, you're out of here. Because love and fear doesn't coexist. Fear, God and fear doesn't say, you take the upstairs and I take the downstairs. He says, look, when I move in, I clear house. When I move in, there's no fear living in the granny flat down the back of the garden. I'm coming in, I take over the whole house. And when love is fully formed, and you may say, no, I'm full of fear of death and judgment and fear of this and fear of that. All it means is that love is not fully formed in, but there's a download of love to come your way. There's something to be released into our lives that we're not afraid. That the boogeyman is not going to get you. Because every time it comes to knock at the door, Jesus answers the door. Love lives here. Fear doesn't live here anymore. You have no land and place. You have no space in this house anymore. That is not your place in the attic. It doesn't live here anymore. Why? Because love fills the whole house. Love delivers us from this stuff. See, this is God's love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong, it does not delight in evil, rejoices with truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I read that and I go, sometimes I'm patient. And then I read and I go, no, that's not my love, that's God's love. God is patient, God is kind. He does not envy, he does not boast, he is not proud, he's not rude, he's not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrongs. God does not delight in evil. He always rejoices, he always projects, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. In fact, God never fails. And then he says that I want this love to be increased in your love. And I was thinking this morning about, well, what's the opposite? What would keep me impatient? What would keep me not being kind to people? What would keep me being boastful and proud and rude and self-seeking and always angry and always keeping records of wrong and always delighting, well, not always delighting in evil, but maybe sometimes rejoicing with the truth? What's the opposite of all these things? Whatever is the opposite of that is what God wants to get the love into. So the impatient and the pain and the therapy of God that is needed to be applied, or the medicine of God that needs to be applied to why you're always envious of other people, or why you always hang on to the records of wrong. There's a reason why we do that. And Paul is trying to communicate, love wants to invade every aspect of our lives so that we become like him. Because that's the increase of God. The increase is not that we stay the way we are, but that we're changed from one degree of glory, one increased measure of glory, to the next increased measure of God. So God, we look at your life, or your family look at your life and go, my goodness, look at Mary. She's the kindest person. She used to be a beast. I've met beasts in dresses and lipstick. And Jesus comes in and he floods with love. And Mary's not a beast anymore. She's a new creation. And the pain where the beast was ruling and reigning gets evicted by love and healed and set free. So if you're a beast this morning, if there's an area of your life, or my life, where I'm a beast, the good news is that love changes everything. Love changes everything. And finally, Romans 5:5. Hope will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us his Holy Spirit, who fills our heart with his love. I memorized in the NIV, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the word for poured is an incessant flow of like a waterfall that's always continuous. It's not a one deposit of love, it's an ever increasing deposit that every time you go under, you can get more and more. And Paul says, and when he was talking to the Romans, they were getting their food and their houses, and they were getting butchered, they were getting tortured, they were getting put to the flame in the emperor's Colosseum. This is people who gave their life for God. This is people that seen their husbands dragged out and put flax around them and set on fire to light up a Colosseum. He was talking to the people that were getting took out and were fed to lions, Christians, because they wouldn't bow the knee to Nero. Because they wouldn't bow the knee to another Lord. This is who Paul is talking to. He's not talking to Christians that were all happy and had a great life. He was talking to people that like loved them, bored them. They just took my mother. They just took my brother. I haven't seen my brother who confessed to being a Christian in months. He's in some prison waiting to be dragged out, either to be set on fire or to be thrown to the lions. And Paul says, wait till I tell you about the love that doesn't disappoint. When I tell you about the love of God that can make you look at your enemy and say, I forgive. He says, this is the love that will be poured into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. She was saying to the church, I can understand where we're at. I can understand what's happening. But I want to tell you, there's a way to live. There's a higher way. There's a higher type of living. And it's only done out of experiencing the love of God and living out of that love of God. You won't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. The most you'll be able to do is cope. But truth doesn't come to set you in a place of coping. Truth comes to set you free. Amen. Let's pray.